Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Okay, so let's see, who is new here with us on my left? Yes, tell us your name and how you got to know this group. Tell them rather. Very good. Welcome. Anyone else on my left here? I think. Have you introduced before? You have, right? Yeah. Introduced before. Okay. On my right, let me see. Yes. So who is your mother and godma? Oh, this godma, not mother.
On her way,
coming also. Ah, very good. Huh? 我的皈依弟子. Oh, that's the mother, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see. Very good. Welcome. Your mother has been attending meditation classes. And also the SGC. Yeah. Good to have you here. Who else? Let me see. Who has not introduced yourself before? Ah, yes, the gentleman behind. Yes. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group. Yeah, you're the last person. Unless there's some invisible friend behind.
Yeah. I try to hide, actually. Yeah. I know you from NUS. So I just go by.
No. They don't know. They don't know you. I know you.
Is it okay? No video. Is it okay?
Oh. No video.
Yeah. I know you from NUS. So I just come.
What might know him? Who is the him?
No, you.
Who is the you? You must address me properly.
Not your brother.
Yes. Yeah, a very thick skin one. Yeah. So, since he's so shy, let me introduce him for him. His name is Tommy. Yes. And he's been attending the Paramita series at NUS, organized by the NUS Buddhist Society. So here he is. Do you need me to introduce more? No. Tommy reminds me of some other students. Some of you may remember Wilson, the fat one, not the thin one. Yeah. So I hope he don't disappoint me. Yeah. Welcome. Good to see you here. When I say I hope he don't disappoint me, those who know the fat Wilson, you know how. When he come for class, he will bring some life to the class, because he is, most people when they come for SGC, when most people go to temple, it's like going to the cinema, you know, yeah, you just go there and then sit back and then watch, then finish, lights up and then you just go off. Usually when people go to the cinema. You don't want to go with people who sit there and then say, "Hey, what is that? Who is that guy? Yeah. But for Dharma talk, you need that, yeah, because in the Buddhist tradition, asking question is part and parcel of learning. Yes, in fact, without questions, I would say a huge part. maybe even up to 80%, 90% of the sutras will not be in existence. And the reason is because if you look at most sutras, it starts off with the Buddha being at some place, let's say in Kosala, in Kosambi, and so on and so forth. And then there'll be some groups. Sometimes it's the lay community, sometimes it is the ascetics, other times it is the Brahmins. They would hear of the Buddha's presence in town, and then they'll discuss among themselves. And of course, in the sutta, it would be about when they decide that, hey, it would be good if we go and visit this ascetic Gotama, and then find out what he has to say. Or they may sometimes go and ask him questions that is perplexing to them. Sometimes they may even go there to ask questions to try to defeat the Buddha in his teachings. In any case, all this lead to the Buddha replying. There are also cases probably where people hear of the Buddha in town but didn't decide to go and visit the Buddha. Those conversations didn't end up recorded in the sutta. Because there was no interaction whatsoever. Yeah, so what we have, a collection, yeah, a huge part, maybe up to 80 to 90% of the time, it starts off with that kind of setting, and then whoever were to visit the Buddha would then ask questions. Yeah, would then ask questions. Yeah, so whenever you come to SGC, you must bring all your questions. Yeah. All the questions you have always wanted to ask, the questions that keep you up awake at night, the questions that, you know, mankind has always wanted to ask, and you come and ask, you may not get an answer. Yeah, but it's through this process that we learn, we share, and we grow. Okay, so welcome to SGC, where we have short chanting, short meditation, and not so short Dhamma sharing. Okay, let me power up my machine. What is today's topic? Do you all know the topic? What is today's topic? Today's topic. Huh? Oh, you're also checking, huh? You are very good. Don't know what topic also come. Yeah. Yeah. Living an active and youthful life. What a topic. Who? So as with past weeks, I would ask the person who posted this question, whether the person is here. Who posted the question? You posted, huh? So, do you want to give some context to this topic? Living an active and youthful life. Okay, let me get my note-taking thing come up. Give me a minute. Okay, scribble, yes. So, today's topic. What is today's date? Huh? 13th of October. Hmm. October, November, December. Oh, we are into the last quarter. And it's already that half a month gone. So we have roughly 2.5 plus months left to 2019. Huh? As in to the end of 2019. Yeah. So, have you all lived a youthful, active and youthful life so far? How many of you are youthful? Oh, Sifu, don't ask this kind of awkward question, huh? And how about active? What does it mean by active and youthful? How do you all understand these two terms? Being active and being youthful. For some people, like for example, if you look at the mainstream media, in Singapore we talk about active retirement. Yeah. Then they talk about taking part in different kind of activities, you know, go and do line dance la, go and do, I don't know, what else? I only heard people go and do line dance.
Zumba.
Zumba.
Zumba's popular these days.
Oh, it's popular these days. Oh, so for some people, active means what? Zumba. How to spell? Zoom.
Zumba.
And then, what else? Line dance. You know what is line dance?
Yeah.
Not lion dance. Line. I think that they form a line, two lines or what, then they like go in the square or something. What else? What else is active?
Jackpot.
Jackpot. Jackpot machine. Okay, I can see all the all your hobby coming up. Jackpot machine. Yes. Yeah. What else?
Go.
Oh, wow. Somebody bring in volunteer work. So there's also volunteer work. Volunteer. Ah, you know where you can volunteer? Xiao Pusa. Ah, join us. Do something worthwhile in life. Be a Xiao Pusa. What else? What else? Anything else? Yes?
Games.
Play games. Yes, games. Yes, games. Yeah. Games la. Movie la. Shopping la. Is shopping being active?
Yeah, of course.
So etc. So this is one kind of active. This is the self-gratification kind of active. Okay, these are all the self-gratification. That's one way of being active. Yeah. Well, we cannot say that that is not active, yeah. This all these activities involve some kind of physical activity or mental activity. When we say mental, it's not exclusive to just playing Sudoku, yeah, but also making your emotions go up and down, yeah. So all these are some form of self gratification. Including mostly entertainment. Yeah, look at Zumba, it's a form of entertainment, line dance entertainment, jackpot machine, games, movie, shopping, etc. How about exercise? Is exercise considered a form of entertainment? In a way, yes. Yeah, it just happened to have the side effect of making you healthier. Yeah. Of course, there are some people who really exercise purely for the health. Yeah. But there are also people who do exercise for that therapeutic effect. Going for a run, going for a swim can be quite therapeutic as well. Like yesterday, I brought we had a walk, at the treetop walk, MacRitchie, So for some Buddhists, when we see such activities, some Buddhists go, some Buddhists not Dharma enough. I've had some students feedback to me before, Sifu, you organize this kind of activity, I'm not so interested. I said, why? Because no Dharma. Go for a walk, no Dharma. Oh, then what do you want? I want the Dharma. In a way, nothing wrong with that also. But as to whether going for a walk has Dharma inside, it's up to how you walk. If you go in, I don't know how people walk, but I will share with you some ways to walk where you can be physically active, mentally active, and spiritually active also. Like for example, on some of the walks, when we start the walk, I will let them, go free and easy first. Otherwise, right from the start, can be overwhelming for some. So at some point, I would give them some, guidance, instructions on what to do. Because otherwise, it's really like 走马看花, just go there, kai, walk here, walk there, then chit-chat, then, hey, how are you, shopping, then the conversation is what, mostly about the latest sale lah, about news lah, about politics lah, about Hong Kong lah, then later about tour lah, then about Hong Kong again lah. Recently, a lot of people talking about that. So instead, sometimes I will ask them, okay, for this stretch until we reach the next rest point, we don't talk. Try not to talk. And you see, the funny thing is, when you are walking along with people and you don't talk, some people start to feel uncomfortable, you can start to feel uneasy. So there was one time I told them, try to radiate metta to one another without talking. Not so easy. You can smile at each other, but don't talk. Because once you talk, you can express yourself. But how can you express the care? How can you express compassion and so on without talking? That's one exercise we do. Then sometimes I will ask them, for this stretch, choose one object when you go for the walk. Choose one object. Focus on what you see, but don't go and discriminate what you see. That means you just observe, you can take note, in terms of color. So whatever you see, you just note the color. Or you can just note the shape. Or you can even recognize up to the object, but don't go beyond that. Then it becomes a different walk. Can become a different walk. So walks can also be different. Of course, then you may turn around and say, hey, Shifu, is there any way for us to play the jackpot machine with Dharma? We'll come back to this later. I know some of you are quite interested. How to play jackpot machine with Dharma? Play it mindfully. How to play it mindfully? We'll come back to this later, okay? Plus mahjong. How to play mahjong mindfully. So there are a lot of other aspects to being active. The gist of it is perhaps that you are involved in something to do, and not just sitting around. Youthful. What do you all understand about being youthful? Youthful, energetic. 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 What else? Youthful is a state of mind, huh? Yes. I was just saying. Youthful is more about a state of mind and not just state. But we can say that a person look youthful. So that's the difference. If you say that a person look youthful, it means it's a physical attribute. Or that we can say that the person has a youthful attitude to life. The person is youthful in the mind or in the heart. Then it's different. There are some young people, although they are youthful, as in they are physically young, but they are mentally not very young. Yeah, you ask them to go and engage in some activities. How many times, Daddy, we have to go to the park? I've gone there so many times already. really so soon? That's a not youthful mind. Yeah, so young people can have youthful mind. Then old people can also have youthful mind. How many of you are old people? Raise your hand. Oh, not bad. This class is quite good. When I ask old people, quite readily raise. Huh? You old people? Yeah, that one is that one is. Sometimes Sifu asks awkward question, like this. Yeah. How many of you are old? How many of you are old again? Raise your hand. Old people. Let me check. Double check. Assuming you're old, how old are you? You around? We are the same age, right? I'm not old. mindset. commonly, what age is considered old?
Government
said 39. 39?
You get our elder shoe.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. I was so surprised, you know. Yeah, I was so surprised when some students told me, Shifu, you are already middle age. Huh? Yeah. I'm middle age? Since when am I middle age? Yeah. If you consider our lifespan, 80, and then we have birth. Each of these is about 20 years. If you are unlucky, then you have the last 20 years as well. this last 20 years can be quite xiong, depending on your health, of course. Yeah. Last I checked, there are some, even when they are 80 plus, you look at them, it's not how they look, you know, that they are, you can see the fire in the eye, you know. Oh, they can still walk around, they can talk, they can, you know, they are still actively doing things, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But if you look at this, for our average lifespan, it's around here, somewhere here. There are two lines here. The first one on the left is the guy, on the right is the girl. Yeah, girls have to live for a few more years more than us. Yeah, so every time when I bring this up, I always highlight to people this extra about 3 to 4 years thereabout comes at the end, not in front. So it's not that from 20 to 24 you get free life, no. Yeah, it's that the extra life comes behind. But that's average. Some of us maybe earlier, you know, maybe 70 something, niao kong kiao already. Yeah, some of us, heng heng sui sui 110, wow, xiong, huh? All the way up to this point. Yeah. So how? Where am I? 40, 50. I'm somewhere here. Wow, so jialat. This part already used up. Left with this part. How many more Heart Sutra can I conduct? Let me calculate. 46. If I live up to 80, 34 times at least 2 runs, but at least 2 runs is 68. Each class you have, let's say, 70 to 80. You can calculate how many people will be going through that class. Let's say it's, you round it up, 70 times 70. So 4, is it? Yeah, about 4 to 5,000 more people. That's a fraction of the Singapore population. That's a fraction of the number of Buddhists. That's why I don't bother opening other class. How many class, you know? How many other class you want to open, you know? You just have this class, you cannot even cover the whole Buddhist population, not to mention Singapore. Yeah. So, youthful. What does it mean to be youthful? It can be a mental state, yeah, mentally energetic or physical. But the title is very interesting, no? The title is Living an Active and Youthful Life. It's not a question mark. It's not how to live an active and youthful life. It's living an active and youthful life. So, what do you have in mind? No, just teasing her. Do you all consider yourself living a youthful and active life? Yes. Yes, huh? Wow, not bad. How many of you don't think that you are youthful enough or active enough? Oh, only a handful. So, just now I highlighted this. When I highlight this, some of you may think that, oh, Sufu is trying to tell us we should stop having self-gratification. Huh? Do you all think so? When I highlight this, you may think that Sufu is trying to tell you to cut down on your self-gratification or to have no gratification. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to tell you that. On the other side, okay, maybe not this side. Maybe on the other side, instead of self-gratification, what can it be? Service to others. So that's, you can have service towards others, you can have self-gratification, you can also have self-improvement. And I'll tell you this. I don't encourage people to totally devote all your time to only doing service to others and self-improvement. I don't encourage people to do just this. Unless you're monk and nun, then you should really just only be doing this too. Yeah. And the reason is, for most people, if you don't get some self-gratification, that means you don't spend some time, at least some time, doing what you like, doing what pleases you, you will get into trouble. Not immediately, fortunately, and unfortunately. Yeah. Fortunately, you will not get into trouble immediately, so you can still get by with your life. But if you keep it up because it doesn't affect you immediately, then what happens? It becomes a way of life for you, where you spend all your energy and resources in service of others and trying to improve yourself, which is not a bad thing if you think about it, except that unless you manage to, in the Buddhist sense, we say, unless you have evoked pure bodhicitta, yeah, that means you have transcended the need for, you know, self-gratification. In other words, your desire. If you can, of course, do it. But for most people, you are not able to do it yet. So, if you don't do anything that pleases yourself, go shopping a bit lah, go a bit of movie lah, games lah, whatever pleases you. It may be sports, it may be going for a tour, it may be just reading a book. You know, reading book is not always about self-improvement. It can be a novel, go and read Harry Potter lah, whatever. That is crucial as well. Why? The Buddha said there are four kinds of food that we sustain ourselves. The first type is the gross food, yeah, 断食, the gross kind of food. Four kinds of nutriment. The first is the gross food. So this is referring to the physical food that we eat at intervals. Yeah, you cannot just eat all the food you need for a week and then stop eating. Yeah, can you? Or you eat all the food you need for your whole life, one time, one shot. Go for some all you eat. All you can eat buffet, then cannot. We cannot. We need to eat in sections. Yeah. So that nourishes the body, and of course that gives us some gratification also. But as we learn the Dharma, sometimes we may think, this is desire. Yes, it's desire. Yeah, cannot be helped. And then we may think to ourselves, I must cut this. Yeah, then cut this, cut that, cut that, cut that. If you manage to evoke that pure bodhicitta, yeah, that means your aspiration to cultivate, it can sustain you. Then no problem. But if not, you know what will happen? You will start to feel disheartened. You will start to feel like your all your effort, yeah, serving others, yeah, and self-improvement and so on, it's not giving you enough satisfaction. And you know, the worst thing is, over time, one day, you may wake up and feel resentful. And I don't mean service, meaning that, you go out to do volunteer work, or you go and go on a mission trip, go to Myanmar, go Thailand, go Africa, whatever. No, not just that, you know. Service can be at home, yeah. You spend time taking care of your family, yeah. You go to work very hard, yeah. Provide, and then you forget to provide for yourself. That's what happened. Yeah. Some people, yeah, when they reach middle age, yeah, you know, they have the midlife crisis. Yeah, actually part of the thing, you know. They serve until suddenly they are 40 plus, 50, then they're like... Then they see all the young people chasing their dreams. Yeah, they see people doing what they like. Then they're like, why am I so stupid? Then there's a problem. Must have a balance, you know. Again, I highlight. If you are able to embrace the spiritual path, no problem. No problem. Yeah, so like, I like to think, monks and nuns don't need to offer us like a package, you know, like a company had to offer you a package, right? Okay, this is the what is that? The compensation lah. Then it comes with yearly tour lah. What? No, monks and nuns don't need that. We derive the satisfaction from the Dharma. Yeah. So unless you can do that, yeah. Otherwise, you have to balance. So don't just be active helping others. Don't just be active in learning things, but you have to be honest with yourself. And I don't have a hard and fast ruler. I don't have it. Because everybody is different. I've sat down with some students I've mentioned in class also. Yeah. Most of the time, if Sifu give you all some exercise to do, then you think, Sifu is going to ask me to chant Da Bei Zhou. Wow, 100,000 times la. Chant Om Mani Padme Hum 100,000 times la. Meditate 100,000 minutes or hours la. Go and read this Nikaya, that Nikaya or whatever. But I've ever told my students, my exercise for you, in the next 2 weeks, you must go and watch a movie. Yeah, you must go shopping. Huh? Sounds quite crazy, huh? Yeah. But it's because for most people, you need some kind of something that interests you, something that will please you. But if you have not been doing it for a while, suddenly Sifu tell you to go and do that, you are in a loss, no? Because that student after that, like, I asked the student, how long have you not watched a movie? When is the last time you watched a movie? That person, eh, can't remember, like, yeah. I'm not saying that everybody must watch movie, but you must have your own outlet. As long as your outlet is not committing a crime. Recently, I counseled this in a way, you can consider single mother. Yeah, one daughter, one son. Yeah, so the son is a bit on the spectrum. Yeah, so she has to spend a tremendous amount of time with the son. Yeah, so after giving the son some regime to follow, so after about maybe 3 to 5 weeks, then I asked, I told the mother, I said, so far we have only been talking about your son. How about your other your daughter? Not other daughter, your daughter. You while you put in effort to take care of your son, don't lose the daughter, no? Then after a few more weeks, then when things are a bit more settled, then I told the mother again, I said, so far it's been about them. One week, how many hours do you spend by yourself? How many hours do you do that? Then she's like, what do you mean? I said, yeah. How much time do you spend with yourself? And the answer is zero. Please don't tell me, Shifu, I go toilet by myself. Go toilet pang sai. That one doesn't count. You go toilet pang sai, you bathe, that doesn't count. Yeah, at night you sleep, yeah, that doesn't count. I'm talking about wakeful hours, time that you consciously spend by yourself, not incidental. That's important. Yeah, that's important. And I would say that's important, not just for her case. We may think, oh, because of her case, of this mother's case, so, you know, there's a need. Even if your children are not on the spectrum, yeah, it's important to have some time by yourself, at least on a regular basis. A lot of parents spend so much time, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful. We should be thankful that our parents spend so much time on us. Yeah, but I've been advising parents to have some me time as well, not on a selfish, you know, the kind of self gratification, but we need to have that. Why? Because especially for those cases where the family is not on the spectrum, then eventually your child will have their own life, you know. And if you're not used to spending time by yourself, you'll feel lost, you know. It's like getting retrenched, you know. Yeah. It's really like getting retrenched. except that for parents, you cannot find a new job, you know. You know, for job, you can find a new position. For as a parent, you cannot find another set of kids and then go to NTUC, then, hey, boy, how are you? You need one more mother. This is my CV. I brought up 4 kids. cannot, you know. Yeah. So for parents, by the time the kids reach maybe early 20s, yeah, and they may have their own career or their own family, then they'll need that space also, yeah, and quite inevitably they'll spend more time by themselves doing their own things or with their friends. And if parents are not used to it, then you may either have turmoil because the mother or the father, not always mother, I don't always think it's a mother, some mother, oh, I go and to feng wu, whatever, yeah, or whatever they may like to do. Sometimes it's the father, you know. Sometimes father, you know, with the child, a lot of, but father don't say a word. Father maybe, wow, very close, tight with the son or daughter, you know, but don't say. Your mother at least maybe say. Mm. Then what happened? You have a lot of friction. Mm. Or else, maybe no friction. On the surface, looks okay. But broken heart. Huh? Inside. In a way, that's why we need to learn how to live an active life. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we abandon our family and friends or our duties. It means learning to shift around when conditions have changed. Mm. Being active when you're young is different when you're middle-aged, is different when you grow up and grow old. Like now, what does it mean to be active? For a young person, being active almost feels like, I don't know how is it like for Ash, but I think for some young people, being active may be linked to freedom. Mm. Yeah. And freedom is in opposition with the control from parents. Yeah. Because when you are still young, yeah, 20 and below, I think nowadays maybe 16 and below, a lot of decisions are made by parents. So for young people, in the mind, being active means I can decide for myself. Correct, Ash? Do you want to have that independence to decide for yourself? Don't want. you're quite, how old are you again? 20? Of 13? Okay, I was like, wow, when do you grow up so fast? Well, by the time you're 20, Shifu will be getting closer here. You're 13 now. 7 years later, well, already past the, already 51. You know, 53. Of young age. Never thought of myself as 50 something. not 50 something yet. Now 46. Yeah. So 13 years old. Yeah, your hormones haven't developed yet. Something inside your body. It's the cell. Yeah. Later there'll be an imbalance. Then your hands will grow longer, leg grow longer, then hair start coming out here. Yeah, they call it puberty. Yeah. Then you start to feel very angst. No lah, not really lah. Actually, to me, doesn't have to be like that. Yeah. Living an active childhood or teenage years can be happy also, can be in harmony also. You know, I remember maybe at some point we start telling each other that, oh, kids are like that. When they are teenage years, they'll be rebellious. Maybe we should not say that. No, maybe all the more we should tell everybody, no, kids at that age don't have to be rebellious. Yeah, we keep telling each other, and we also tell our kids, then it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. Yeah, that they have to be rebellious. Then if your kid, yeah, like she maybe don't feel rebellious, then she may feel, is it what? She may even feel like, hey, is something wrong with me? Huh? Why am I not rebellious? Yeah. So each of us have to find what is active for us. Yeah, but I can suggest this, that you need to have a mixture, you know. As to how much, that is up to individual. Some people just need a bit and it's okay. And not everybody is into Zumba. Yeah. When I was young, I'm not into this kind of thing. When I say this kind of thing as though it's a bad thing. Yeah. Even when I was much younger, I remember I was in Scouts and every time there's campfire, and at the end of the campfire, there's some like half an hour of mass dance or whatever, you know. Yeah. And I recall this very strange experience. You know, they were playing loud music and I see everybody like moving around. And then at that moment, I look at everybody moving around and there was this very strange thought that arise. Looks like a bunch of monkey jumping like a dog. Oh, honest to heart. Yeah. Yeah, even at the age, as I was looking at everybody and then there was this music and everything, and even later on when I go to pub only because friends ask me, you know. So when I went, it's almost like I would somehow in my mind, the sound and whatever they are doing is kind of divorced, you know. And I just don't see how that is of any consequence or fun at all. Yeah, but I can understand, you know, when you're young, you go to pub, then they play loud music, so you cannot hear each other, then you must come closer to talk to each other, you know, all the reasons, right? And then they dim the lights, flash, 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 so you cannot see each other, everybody looks pretty, yeah, then pretty and handsome, and then they throw in some smoke, yeah, and then, let's do that's not enough, they give you some drinks, yeah. Then cannot get people to go there, right? Then they give ladies night, then girls get free drinks, so girls go, then when girls go, then guys go. Yeah, it's all this, you know. Yeah. Of course, if you ask me, I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah, I really find that like... but if that's your cup of tea, go and experience it, but don't drink, don't drink. I still don't recommend people to drink. So as a result, some friends stop inviting me to be active with them. Because it's no fun when they are drinking themselves crazy. And then this guy down there... no to nai la, but Coke. Then I just drink my Coke. And then while they are making fool of themselves, then I just down there... Yeah. But when I was much younger, I do have my pursuits also. But unlike my friends, I really go and pursue. So that's the other thing I don't like about that kind of active life. Yeah, because people, have you ever wondered why people go to pub? They just go there and I don't know why they go there, you know.
It's so noisy.
Yeah, it's so noisy. Yeah. And if you go there to get to know people, then why are you not going to talk to people? You know how many times I get invited by my friends from uni, and then we go there, then all they do is hang around by themselves and then talk, hey, look at that girl. And then girls will, hey, look at that guy. Then they're just talking about the idea of talking to them, you know. Nobody ever do anything, so I'm like, don't waste my time. Yeah. So there's all this way of being active. I like what Bhante once said. Someone asked about material life. Yeah. In a way, being active is about the material pursuit, isn't it? Yeah. So Bhante said, there's nothing wrong with material pursuit. It's good. Then everybody, huh? I also, huh? And then he said, there's nothing wrong with that. With material progress, then we have a lot of problems solved. You know, without material progress, you are still hungry and whatever. He said, the trouble is if you only pursue material progress, then that's the problem. And you neglect spiritual pursuit. If you pursue material, but you also pursue spiritual, then it's still okay. And I thought, that's quite a balanced approach. Granted, some of you may be interested to just pursue spiritual path. Anyone? Anyone want to pursue just spiritual path? Raise your hand, I give you the application form. Shake it. The one. Yeah. So while we try to live our life in, you know, balance, continue to pursue our spiritual growth. Because having the spiritual growth, it can help us to look at life differently. And perhaps find a better balance and become aware when we are not in balance. A student mentioned some question just now. Yeah, so I thought I want to spend some time addressing that also. And some of the questions may be related to this topic. And if you have other thoughts or questions about this topic, you can also share. I'm going to just write this down, the four kinds of before I forget to write it down. Yeah, so you have 断食, 触食, 意识, and 实时. These are the four nutriment, four kind of support for our life. Most people only go for the first one, food, yeah, the physical food. Yeah, contact is crucial also, yeah, for most people. So for most people, if you don't have enough contact with the outside world, then your mind become uneasy, you know. But different people need different amount. You must find yourself. And then, food for thought. Yeah, we like to think. That's why when we ask you to meditate, cannot take it. Yeah, but you must also not overfeed your mind. Then you overthink. You know, your mind become out of control. Consciousness is interesting because in some school it's talking about our karma. Yeah, in some other schools, then it's just about that. That consciousness arising from contact. So the few questions that was raised just now, what was the question just now? Yes. What's yours?
If a person die
or... Oh yeah. And then?
We are not supposed to move the body for 12 hours.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, let me answer that first question first. From active life to death. Quite a switch. Okay, change gear. Yeah. So after living an active life, then you die, cannot move. So that this question. No movement for 8 hours. So there is this practice today. The belief is that after dying, if the person don't take immediate rebirth, the physical contact can be disturbing for the person. Yeah. So, and the fear is that disturbance may cause the person's mental state to be affected and result in the agitation, yeah, causing unwholesome karma to ripen. And as a result, rebirth in the lower realms. In a sense, you can find some reference to this, yeah. But in a sense, there are also suttas that don't agree with this. So in the commentary, it does talk about how after death, not all rebirth take place immediately, and it and depending on whether the person after death connect with wholesome or unwholesome karma, then the person's rebirth may take a different route. And within the within each of the 7 days, up to 7 weeks, the person's rebirth may go one way or the other. In the case where it's heavy karma, that means heavy good, heavy bad, spontaneous rebirth, don't have to worry about that. Yeah. So the trouble is most people don't know for sure. Yeah. So this is more of a play safe. However, I also want to highlight there's one sutta where the Buddha talked about, or does this person who asked the Buddha whether his rebirth will be affected if he were to live at that point in time, which is around noontime, and there's heavy traffic outside. And he was afraid that he might get knocked down by some elephants, by some cows or horse or some carts, and dying in this horrific way, he's afraid that he would be reborn in a bad state. So the Buddha assured him and told him, and asked him rather, the Buddha asked him, if a tree were to be growing, yeah, if a tree has been growing in one direction, don't ask me why the tree grow in this direction, okay? Yeah. So imagine if the tree has been growing in one direction, and then someone were to chop off the tree, what will happen? Chop off? The Buddha asks, yes. Will the tree fall in this direction or fall in the other direction? Which direction would the tree fall? Towards the right or left? Of course, towards the right. In the sutta itself, it was east or west. Yeah. And it was towards the direction it was growing. So the Buddha said, in the same way, he assured that lay person that for a long time he has been cultivating wholesomeness, that his mind has been inclining towards wholesomeness. He has been devoted to the practice of wholesomeness, goodness, and so on. So even if he should die with this kind of like unexpected death, sudden death, yeah, and even in a horrific way, get knocked down by some elephant, trampled and whatever, he said, he assured him that his rebirth will be towards the good place. Mm. Yeah. So this is from Sutta. Yeah. So that's why all the teachings of the Buddha focuses on how you live your life and not how you die. But Chinese 要有好死哦. Yeah. Chinese very afraid, kia su, kia si. Then try to improve the chance. Oh. But the real way, again, the real way to improve your chance is to practice while you're alive. Yeah, I can think of a couple of different ways that you can still be agitated even if people don't move you. Yeah. If you have a lot of defilements, 烦恼很多, you know. Yeah, then you pass away. Then people don't move you for 8 hours. Then you may even complain and say, "What, Biang Eh, why so long? Still don't bathe me and change my clothes." Yeah. You know, like if you, you know what I mean? If you learn, if you are a person who is quarrelsome, a person who don't, you know, tame yourself, who is always trying to change the world to suit your desire, your wishes, then I kind of assure you, don't get reborn immediately. 8 hours down there, I can assure you, you can think of some reason to complain. You don't need people to move you. Then how? Not reliable. Yeah. Two hands were raised just now. Yeah.
I just want to ask about the organ donation.
Ah.
So I think you answered.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so regards to death. So when you say death, within that 8 hours, is there still consciousness? That's the first question.
Okay.
Then the second question is 2 weeks ago regarding the chao tu.
Ah.
So for chao tu, when you say someone has very heavy karma, regardless of good or bad, so going through the chao tu process, does it help to alter the rebirth run, or it doesn't affect at all because of the heavy karma?
So very clearly, you are not so interested in active life. Talk about death, wow, immediately I have question. Wow, I have interest. Huh? Yeah, yeah, but these are valid questions.
Last one.
Oh, still got last one. Like, yes.
Sharing of merit. So does it mean that someone with heavy karma, big actions, can actually alter his karma merit because somebody else helps to share the merit with him or her?
So, what's your first question again?
Is consciousness still around? Still there within the 8 hours?
Is it still around?
What is the definition of death?
Yeah, so in Buddhism, in the classical texts, there's no detailed description of when consciousness leaves. You will not find it in the Pali Canon. There are a few texts that does touch around this area. One of them was this question by one of the prince or king, asking the Buddha whether it takes a different time to be reborn in one place or the other. Yeah, so talking about the duration it takes for that rebirth. So then the Buddha said, ask him to think of one city and then think of another city. And then the Buddha asked him, how long did it take for either one? He said, spontaneous. I just think of it, and then I think of it already. So the Buddha didn't give further clarification, but said in the same way, you know, the timing is not different. But yet there are other texts that talk about how some beings, when they take rebirth, midway to that place, certain things can change. Yeah, for example. The rebirth to the five pure abbot, yeah, it talk about how upon landing and before landing, the person can attain arahanthood. So that seemed to imply that between death and rebirth in that pure abbot, not pure lander, something can still happen. Yeah. So these are two main sutta which I've that touches on the after death or around that time. Most, if you think about it proportionately, all other suttas is about how you live your life. So still the question is our consciousness still around? Here I have to rely on the Yogacara Bhumi Sastra. Yeah? There are other commentaries that touch on that. I think like Abhidhamma Kosa Sastra, that touches on it also. A few others, yeah, mainly from the Yogacara school. The Madhyamika school, they don't talk about that. Yeah, Madhyamika school basically, conditions arise. No conditions don't arise. What condition? Don't ask me. Yeah, just a lot of conditions. Yeah, then, so just now I mentioned about two heavy karma. Heavy good, heavy bad. That means wholesome, unwholesome. these two cases, you don't have to worry. Don't have to worry about posting. Posted. No need to fight. Don't get to fight also. That includes the heavenly realms, sensual desire heavenly realm, form formless realm, all included. The rebirth is spontaneous. Hell realm as well, ghost realm as well. So the only two or three realms that may take time would be the human, animal, and asura. But having said that, the ghost realm is a bit peculiar, because most of the time when we think about ghosts, we are talking about the ghost that is manifested. But in the sutta, there are some ghosts or some beings in the ghost realm that is described to have mother and child one. So in those cases, the realm doesn't seem to be spontaneous birth also, no. So it's a bit grey there. Now, what is the implication of all this? Implication is, in the Yogacara text, then it says, that's where it bring in the 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, up to 7 weeks. The 七七四十九天, you know. This text originated from India. As to why in the Chinese culture, there's also the 七七四十九天, I don't want to be presumptuous to think that this was transplanted from the Indian teachings. But there could have been some confluence, okay, some back and forth as well. But that we use comes from India, not written in China. Translated in China, but not written in China. So what does it say? It says that there may be the case where at the start of the first 7 weeks, the person may spontaneously take rebirth or not. And if not, then the person may observe the precursor, like signs of the future rebirth. And if he were to connect with those images, then they will take rebirth. But if it persists all the way until end of 7 days, then that intermediate existence will perish, and then the start of the second week, second 7 days, a new intermediate being will arise. That is linked. So the same process occurs over up to 7 weeks actually. Most of the time, we just limit it to the first 8 hours or so, because of the fear that there's still strong attachment to the body. I recall some teachings given about how within the first initial few hours or something, the separation of the aggregates, the elements, is a process that can be quite disturbing for many people. So the attempt to not move the body is to minimize lah. The thing is, despite all this, I personally feel that it's more important to focus on how you live your life. Because if that part is so crucial, it would be curious why the Buddha never ever mentioned once. You don't see any teachings, not even in Mahayana Sutra. But maybe I haven't read enough. But so far, nobody ever cite Mahayana Sutra or Pali Canon Sutta, where the Buddha said, and there was once the Buddha was at Kosala, and he told the monks, "Monks, after a person has passed away, do not touch the body for 8 hours. No, there's no such a reference. No such a thing. We may think, but because he was always referring to the monks and nuns, "Monks and nuns, you are special one, doesn't matter." No. Yeah, there's absolutely no reference whatsoever. Yeah. What we should be concerned about is not whether people touch our body when we pass away. What we should be concerned about is how we guard our mind while we are alive. Because if you don't train your mind while you're alive, nothing is going to help you. Oh, sorry, is there a part two or three that I haven't? That's the dedication of merits and so on. Let me just hold that first, because for those of you who are interested, there are past SGC that I've covered on that already. Is there other questions? Because I want to respect the timing. One more question. Yes. Mantra that you can recite.
Yes, because during
the 8 hours,
I'm not the one
to
pass away, maybe another person.
Usually,
you're
not the one passing.
My mom, in Buddhism, has never studied learning Dharma.
Ah.
So, what are the mantra that you can recite
what kind of mantra?
Or
what to chant?
Or
So if you say that the person is not a Buddhist, then you have to also find out whether the person is against Buddhism. But I want to highlight. I still want to highlight. I'm not trying to stir thing. Stir things up. But there are people who are not so favorable towards Buddhism. So if you know that the person is so favorable towards Buddhism, then the person passed away. Then let's say the person that has attachment, then down there, then you go there, "Aiya, you so poor thing. I chant for you. You go on." Then how? Then how? Then Amitabha Buddha come, then, like, yeah. Yeah, then jialat. Then later Amitabha Buddha come and tell you, "Hey, please double check first. One round trip, you know how? I could have gone and pick up some other people." But sometimes I do get requests from students whose colleagues or friends, they are not Buddhist, but they just want to do something for them. Yeah. So my advice to students is often be there, be present, offer support to the family. Yeah. But please don't go there if, let's say, the whole family, they are all Christians. I mean, even the most, I don't say Christians are against Buddhists, but even the most understanding one, if they are having a Christian ceremony, then you go there, then you stand up, then Namo. cannot. Please don't do that. I don't care if other religion do that, but we don't do that. You go there, you respect what they believe in. You can offer your silent prayer. That doesn't disturb anyone. And the key thing is, as you are doing that prayer, we would be in a mental state that is wholesome, that has goodwill, that has compassion towards the departed. And it is that will help them. Mm. That, you know, they feel someone caring for them. And then they will be in a wholesome state. Yeah. And if you know the person well enough, then in your mind, think of that person and remind that person the person has given to others. And remind the person of those wholesome things that they have done. Wholesome things is not just about going to temple. I mean, that as well. But there are many people who are good people, nice people, but they may not actively go to temple. Yeah. Then how? Go there. I want to help you, but you never go temple. Too bad. Cannot. So you try to think of the good things the person have done. Yeah. The smallest thing can remind them and help them rejoice. rejoice in that good. In Buddhism, we say that can help them to take a better rebirth. Huh? Okay? Yeah. So I hope, even though you are more interested in the death part than the living part, I hope you all prepare for the death by living an active and youthful life. Learn to, you know, have a balanced life, okay? Don't just spend time doing things without self-care. Self-care is not about being selfish. Yeah. If you don't self-care, one day you break down. Then give people more problem. Really? Yeah, you don't self-care, one day you go berserk. Yeah. Then you explode. Yeah. Do some self-care. Both in the worldly way, yeah, do some hobby, something that pleases you, and also on a spiritual way. You're already coming to SGC. That one is weekly self-care, weekly servicing. Come here and service. But really, it's not enough, you know. Every day, every night, when you are going to sleep, before you sleep, you ask yourself, how has your day been? Spend your time, if you cannot sleep, or even if you can sleep, just spend a few minutes. Think about the services that others has rendered you. Think of all the small things that you are able to do and reflect on. Even the smallest thing is not simply due to our own personal effort. It's due to countless individuals who directly or indirectly support us. In Buddhism, when we talk about gratitude, you think in terms of the conditions. But sometimes our day may not go so well. Then we can also do a reflection and ask ourselves, perhaps my day didn't go so well. This didn't go so well, that person was nasty to me. And really be honest, like have a mirror in front of you and ask yourself, do you harbor some anger towards that person? Do you harbor any frustration or even the slightest ill will towards that person? If there is, put that aside. Whatever has happened, at that moment you are lying on the bed, it's not happening anymore. Yeah. We're not trying to just whitewash everything and say everything is okay. No. If a person is unreasonable, the person is unreasonable. The thing is, even if the person is reasonable, that is in the past. Don't allow that dirt in your mind to bring over to the next day. Just as if you have, you know, recently I keep using this example. If you have chili sauce on your face, one rice you eat halfway, then something on your cheek or your chin, are you going to just leave it there? Are you going to wipe it off and clean it? Yeah, we clean our body, I'll clean our face every day. I hope. Yeah, we brush our teeth, we should clean our mind also. Yeah, clean it up. Lastly, we should also reflect. Not just people doing things that, you know, upset us, that hurt us, but we should also reflect. Today, have I been of service to others? Have I been of disservice to others? So these four areas to reflect over. Then you bring about gratitude in our heart, forgiveness for others, and also the humility in ourselves that we are imperfect, maybe we have done something wrong, and to seek forgiveness. Yeah? And then to inspire ourselves, okay, today I have been a good person. I helped the leaf door for someone. Do not think little of this good. Yeah. Maybe you hold the leaf door a million times for someone, you accumulate enough good merit to meet the next Buddha, you know. Who knows? Yeah. But cultivate that. And then that becomes an inspiration for tomorrow. For each day, yeah, it's like an opportunity, you know, to change this world, change ourselves. How do you want to change tomorrow? Amitofo.
愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除。
世世常行菩萨道，
世世常行菩萨道。
阿弥陀佛，起立。